Some people never talk to God until they get in pain. All of a sudden I'm in pain. Oh, I got to have prayer today. Well, how much time have you been worshiping this week? Oh, I didn't have time. I was working. Well, you know why you got pain? Because you didn't spend any time worshiping the King. Is that right? Yeah. See, now I'd hate to say this, but you know, if you didn't spend no time whatsoever loving that girl, she might put some hurt on you. I don't know. I know mine would hurt. If I don't spend any time loving this girl, it's not going to be too good around my house. She probably wouldn't have come down there. In fact, yesterday when she come pick Dave and I up at the airport, she was parked right out front. She knew what time we was going to be there. We come outside and got in the car. When we got in the car, I looked at the mirror, and there's a little temperature gauge in the mirror. And sitting there on the ramp at DFW Airport, you know what the temperature was on that temperature gauge, which was reading outside temperature? 125. 125 degrees on that temperature gauge. Is that hot? That's hot. As we got away from there, away from all the concrete and all the cars that were running, and got out on the highway, it come back to about 110. You know, but it was 125 degrees there on that ramp at DFW Airport. I told Dave when I looked up, I said, I've only seen it hotter than that one time in my life. That's when I built the building in Phoenix years ago at 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon when I would go to get in the pickup, the company pickup, to drive to the hotel. I always had to wear a pair of gloves and take a towel to put in the seat because the temperature would be, well, the hottest I saw it was 128. 128 at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And when the sun's shining in on a steering wheel, you cannot hold on to a steering wheel, even with tough hands at 128 degrees. That's hot. And we were working in that stuff. We were building a building in that temperature. And, of course, in the morning when you get up at 7 o'clock, you know, when you go out there, it's cool. It was 107. 107 at 7 o'clock. So we started at 107 and wound up at 128. And so next time, you know, I mean, don't grumble. You know, if you walk outside and it's 90, you know, say, oh, it's too hot. I got to get under the air conditioner. I think, well, praise God, Lord, that it's not 128 today. You know, that's something good thing to praise Him for, right? So we need to praise Him and thank Him for all the good things because He can increase the temperature to wherever He wants to. And I don't like it at 125. It was hot when I walked out of that building yesterday. I knew it was hot, but I didn't know how hot until I got in the car and looked at the temperature gauge, and I thought, whoa, 125, no wonder. 125. But anyway, let's go and look about Zacchaeus there on Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Had rich people back in those days, too. Let me tell you something. When last week when we talked about it's harder for a rich man to go through to get saved than it is for the camel to go through the eye of a needle. You know, what did God say down there? He said, with man, it's impossible for somebody to get saved. But with God, all things are possible. But you know, when you think about Zacchaeus being a rich man, back in those days, rich. If I'll bet you that as a rich man, he didn't have a beginning of as much money as the poorest person in this room has got. Stop and think about that. You know, so, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, that's been a few years ago, all right, 60 years ago when I was a kid, the banker made about $8,000 a year. Because he had a degree and he run a bank, $8,000 a year. And you know what we all thought? He's rich. Now, which one of y'all today could live on $8,000 a year? Can you get by on $8,000 a day, Ernest? No, you can't do nothing, can you? So see, I mean, I remember when I was also 16, 17 years old, when I was working for the Chevrolet house, you could buy a brand new 57 Chevrolet Impala for $1,800. You can't, that won't even pay the sales tax on one of them now. Isn't that something? You go in and buy a new car? Do you know it's not uncommon? When Cheryl and I came back from Germany a year before last, they took us by their, what was it, Mercedes? Yeah, Mercedes plant. And we got to look at these Mercedes, and they showed us the nicer Mercedes that I think 100 and, how many of those was it? You remember 100 and, 105 or 10 a day come off that line? Maybe it's 400 a day. Okay. I don't remember the, but anyway, there was like 400 a day come off of this line with this really nice Mercedes. And the people, they said they'd never build one of them unless it's already sold. So somebody buys these things, and they told us that half of every one of these Mercedes that comes off this line every day is going to China. The Chinese people. And of course, that day we were there, there was probably, what, 10 or 15 or 20 Chinese people there to pick up their new Mercedes and to drive it somewhere, put it on a ship, and have it shipped to China. And I asked, I said, what do these elite Mercedes cost? She said, they start at $125,000. She said, now, this one over here, this really expensive one, it was like $450,000. They showed us a new Mercedes sitting there that cost $450,000. And Zacchaeus was a rich man. And what do you think he probably had? Reckon he had a couple of hundred dollars? I mean, you know, 2,000 years ago, would a couple of hundred dollars be filthy rich? Sure. Because when I was a kid, the banker that made $8,000, I thought, wow. When I found this guy made $8,000, I said, that's like what I could do with $8,000. I could buy a brand new Chevrolet pickup for $1,100. When I was a 16-year-old kid, I could buy a brand new Chevrolet pickup for $1,100. Isn't that something? You can't buy a brand new pickup today for $1,100, can you, Eric? Like I say, you can't even pay the sales tax on it for $1,100. I tell you, it's just amazing. Here a while back, somebody in the ministry gave one of our girls a new, almost brand new car, a couple years old. And I thought, well, I know she don't have a whole lot of money, so I'll go with her to show her how to do the tax deal. We got over there and we transferred it over into her name when the girl said, that'll be $780. I said, that's okay. I reached in my pocket, got $780, and I said, that's my gift to you. Somebody else gave you the car, I'll pay the sales tax on it. No way she could have paid for that. She didn't have the cash. She never dreamed it was going to cost her $800 to get a car that somebody gave to her free. But I knew it. I knew they were going to tax her. I knew it. Nothing's free, is it? No, nothing's free. Only thing's free if you got a 501c3 and you're in a ministry. And then when they give it to you, you can get it for free. You don't have to pay no tax on it or nothing. They give you a car. You put it in a ministry name, there's no tax. Except unless you buy a trailer. And when you buy a trailer, it don't make any difference what you got. If you buy a trailer, it costs $1,000, you're going to pay sales tax on it. I don't care if you're going to use it. When we buy trailers, and we've bought some to haul stuff around, equipment and all kinds of stuff, it don't matter what you're going to use it for. You buy it, put it in the Living Savior Ministries name, you're going to pay sales tax on it. You buy a new car and put it in the Living Savior Ministries name, there's no sales tax. No sales tax. You go buy an airplane, you put it in the Living Savior Ministries, there's no tax. But if you don't have it to live and save your ministry's name, you're going to pay big time. In fact, I was talking to one of the guys the other day that didn't know that, and he went out and bought one and put it in his name. He flew it for a year and then traded it in and got another one. No big deal. But he didn't realize he had to have it in the ministry name. His ministry, he didn't have it. And whenever they come back for that airplane, that first one he bought, he got a bill the other day for the sales tax of $25,000. Sales tax on an airplane, $25,000. You reckon he learned a good lesson? I think he did. Ain't no way out of it. He's going to have to pay it. That's all there is to it. He didn't put it in a ministry name. He put it in his own personal name. So if Zacchaeus had $25,000, you think he'd have really been filthy rich? It's all relative. Zacchaeus was very rich. It would be interesting to know how much money he really had. Verse 3 and 4. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. but he could not for the press of the people, but he was a little of stature, just a little short guy. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. In other words, this guy is what I consider diligent. He wanted to see the king. I mean, he was willing to do something. You know, I don't know no human being on this earth. I don't know one. Now, I don't care what they've done, or I wouldn't walk down the street to, I mean, if George Bush or Obama or anybody else, I don't care who it is, if they were going to come by my town, and I wouldn't even drive down the street to go see either one of them. You know? Now, if there was some really, if A.A. Allen was still alive and he showed up, I'd go to his meeting. I might climb up in a tree to get to see A.A. Allen. You know, or Smith Wigglesworth, if they were still alive, I'd climb up in a tree to see them guys. But there ain't nobody in this world that I'd climb up in a tree or run down the road to see them. You know, now, we had a great big minister here a while back that came up here to Denton. And they had a big meeting out in the football stadium there. And they sent flyers out to everybody, said, come early so you can get a seat. Carol said, are you going? I said, no, not at all. Not at all. I ain't going. I don't believe in that guy's ministry. I don't believe he's real. In my spirit, I don't believe he's real. So I didn't go. Wasn't long. The guy's cheating on his wife. Gets a divorce. You think that guy's a man of God? I got a problem there. Something in my spirit said, don't waste your time. So who do you listen to? The Holy Spirit. And when a pastor's got a great big organization and then all of a sudden he's sleeping with one of his secretaries or one of the girls, and he gets a divorce with his wife and throws her away, hey, I got a problem with this guy. I got a problem. Don't call me and ask me to go to his ministry. I ain't going. I know what God said about divorce, don't you? I hate divorce. So you better make. He said, you divorce a wife or your youth? Did you know that God said in his word, he said, you wonder why I don't answer your prayers? But yet the wife of your youth, you didn't maintain your vows with her. And so you heaped destruction upon your wife when you divorced her. It's cruelty. That's what Jesus said.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Are You a Faithful or Unfaithful Servant? In its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.